The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News Talk Sports. I'm just looking at an email here that may or may not be relevant to my first topic here. No, all right. Yeah, it is not. I've got a couple of things that I want to get to before 9 o'clock. One is news that the Green Bay PD has asked the state to also investigate a recent incident. We'll get to that. And there's an interesting piece in one of the sections of today's Wall Street Journal. Now, follow me on this. That has nothing and everything to do with a proposed downtown Walmart store. Nothing, yet everything. How can that be? Well, I do that to you all the time. It's not directly related. It's not a story about Walmart. Yet it is a story that has everything to do with the proposed downtown Walmart store. It has, well, you'll see. We'll get to it here in just a moment. I want to start by reminding you, today is the start of the 2014 NFL Draft. We are doing draft coverage on our sports talk station, Wall to Wall, 1440 WNFL tonight. But also, a lot of stuff on web. You want to go to WTAQ.com. And if you want to find out, particularly that first-round pick, but I believe we'll be doing this throughout as well. If you want to find out, if you're going to be out and about doing something tonight, and you want to find out that first-round pick, Mark Daniels will text it to you. If you, right now, text DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, DRAFT, to 79489, 79489. You do that, and he'll tell you who the first pick is. Jason, any predictions on a specific player that you think they are going to take in the first round? You think they're going to take Mosley. Is he going to be available? You think he is? Pete Doherty's mock first round has the Packers taking another linebacker. Inside linebacker, Ryan, is it Shazier or Shazier of Ohio State? Shazier? Shazier. Ryan Shazier, inside linebacker. Packers need dynamic every down player for heart of the D. If that's who's there and they take him, you'll be okay with that, too. He's not ringing a big bell to me. I mean, I can't, you know, I don't see the Buckeyes that much. You'd be okay with that? Where does he have Mosley going? I thought he had him going. He has him going to the Steelers at number 15. I could see that, too, because there's a once-vaunted defense that really needs to reload. So I could see that. I'm guessing he's not going to be there. That Mosley isn't going to be there. And I don't, I know about Mosley. I don't know about Shazier. So I can't speak to that. But you would be comfortable, huh? I know you follow this a little more closely than do I. I think everybody agrees that's the need that they do have to fill to start. Unless there would be some type of surprise there that you wouldn't have expected to be there at number 21. Or if they do something else, who knows? It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, there are players that just might surprise you. Safety Kelvin Pryor, he is projected by Doherty to go number 14 to the Bears. Yeah, there are some offensive linemen. I think if one of those two inside linebackers are there. Or one of those linebackers, I should say. Yeah, they're both inside linebackers. If they're both there, you don't want to see a wide receiver in the first round. I don't either, although there are certainly wide receivers that are likely going to go. Sammy Watkins is projected number 3 by Doherty to the Jaguars, wide receiver from Clemson. Okay, enough on that. Maybe a little more. Let's see. He is Marcus Lee is projected. Where did he put him? I don't remember where Doherty put him. Can't. Let me see. He's got Odell Beckham Jr. of LSU going at number 13 to the Rams. Where I saw Lee, and I just can't think of where he has him right now. He's got, by the way, the Browns taking Manziel with the number 4 pick. I don't know, a lot of people are uncertain about Manziel. He does seem to be one of those question marks. Anyway, if you want to find out what the Packers do, text DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, to 79489. Green Bay police have asked the state to review the department's investigation into the April 19th incident in which an officer shoved a man he was arresting against a parked car, then punched him while the man was on the ground. City police are close to completing their probe into the arrest of 29-year-old Joshua Wenzel of Caledonia, but likely won't release their findings until a review overseen by the State Justice Department, Captain Bill Galvin said Wednesday. This all from the Green Bay paper. The arrest was captured on video, posted to YouTube, which has spawned for Wicklund's firing the officer from some watchers and messages of support from others. Galvin said the Green Bay police could have asked for a review from criminal justice program officials at a local college, but felt that some members of the public might conclude that oversight from Northeast Wisconsin or Fox Valley Technical Colleges, with which the department works closely, was not impartial enough. We've never had this reaction in this community to a use of force case before, Galvin said. We want to be sure we have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed. I think they could have gone either way. I think there are some people who would rather see that some of the skeptics actually would rather see that being overseen by one of the institutions of learning, seeing them as actually more impartial than a state entity. Either way, an outside set of eyes, I mean, it's a state entity, but I mean a state law enforcement entity. A set of eyes outside the Green Bay Police Department is critical on this. Now, there are those who you could have God give it a second look. And if it comes back that Wicklund did nothing wrong, they're not going to believe it. I mean, I understand that. There isn't much more, though, that I think they can do, and I think this is a good move. And where Galvin said they've never seen anything quite like this, my personal opinion is the police department, I don't know exactly how to say this, underreacted a bit or underestimated exactly how big a deal it was. How big a deal the review was what I mean. This is. And people still, I think, just don't understand the power of cell cameras and YouTube. They still just don't get how quickly that goes viral. Especially something that presents in the way that that video does. I've crowed a lot about I told you so moments. The biggest I told you so moment I think I will ever have was, I think it was 2006, when the New York Times did that story about the NSA, you know, surveillance, and George Bush is watching Grandma. And I said, you have a lot more to fear from a cell phone and YouTube than you ever will from the federal government. I don't think I've ever been more right about anything, perhaps, in my entire life. While there would be a close tie, I am more right about the Walmart store than the Walmart haters. Which brings me to this. There's a big story on the front page of the Marketplace section of the Wall Street Journal. The story is in no way about Walmart, but I think it is very much about the debate over a Walmart supercenter, grocery store, pharmacy, you know, everything a supercenter is, and the proposed Larson Green site in downtown Green Bay. But it's not about Walmart. The story to which I refer is about Whole Foods. You may recall, Whole Foods is one of those trendy, artsy-fartsy, upscale, affluent suburban stores that was on the wish list of those. Well, we should have a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods, which I said ad nauseum, you're not going to get either. Then a while back, Mayor Jim Schmidt said that familiar grocery store names in the Green Bay area were interested. I actually don't believe that. I haven't seen evidence to suggest that. Not at the Larson Green site, but at the peripheral area to which he is trying to push Walmart. They won't go there because their market research doesn't tell them the Velp Avenue site's a winner. And Jim knows that. It's a red herring on his part to say, well, I'm trying to give them this. Who the hell are you to decide, by the way? The way he's handling this dovetails in very much with the rumors I'm hearing that Jim tries to micromanage where development goes. And I've heard stories about that. This seems to be the most public effort. All right, here's the Whole Foods story. Investors are realizing that Whole Foods Market, Inc. is a victim of its own success. Shares in the natural and organic grocery pioneer plunged nearly 19% on Wednesday, vaporizing more than $3 billion of the company's market value after it reduced its sales and earnings outlook for the third time in 6 months. Whole Foods also reported flat earnings for the latest quarter and revealed that a key measure of sale growth hit its weakest pace, since early in the U.S. economic recovery more than 4 years ago. Whole Foods' years of rapid growth demonstrated consumer demand for natural and organic foods that were once niche products. The Austin, Texas company, founded in 1980, now has about 380 stores and revenue last year of $12.9 billion. Nationwide, sales of now this is what's going on. They have competition. Nationwide, sales of natural and organic foods now amount to roughly $50 billion a year. Investors had adored Whole Foods, giving it a market value at times exceeding that of Kroger Company, the nation's largest mainstream grocery chain, which has seven times as many stores. But its accomplishments also drew broad new competition from mainstream retailers like Kroger and Safeway, and upstarts like Sprouts Farmers Market and Fresh Market. Walmart stores last month said it struck a deal with Wild Oats to launch 100 mostly organic products that will be priced 25% cheaper than national brands. Phoenix-based Sprouts, which has about 170 stores on Wednesday, said on Wednesday, its earnings rose 86% for the latest quarter. 86%, and raised its forecast for the year, pushing its shares up 6% in after-hour tradings. All right, so what's going on with Whole Foods? Whole Foods has largely tapped out. Now, listen carefully. This plays into the Walmart debate. Whole Foods has largely tapped out its core demographic in upscale urban neighborhoods. The company's solution has been to expand beyond its comfort zone. Listen very carefully. Their strategy has been to expand beyond its comfort zone in new areas such as poorer neighborhoods, smaller cities and suburbs. That has downtown Green Bay written all over it, except for the suburbs part. It has recently opened stores in Detroit, West Des Moines, Iowa, and plans to open one in Chicago South Side next year. To fend off new competition and attract customers in those new markets, it has had to lower the high prices and profit margins that earned it the moniker Whole Paycheck. There's certainly a very rich competitive system out there right now. We recognize that. No one's going to give us any business, co-chief executive Walter Robb said on a news conference call with analysts late Tuesday. Now, here's what this means. I have said again and again and again and again and again, you're not going to get a Whole Foods down there. In fact, Whole Foods' strategy has been to try to expand into those markets. Whole Foods is specialty and it's expensive. It has lower price competitors. it's struggling now because it's had lower prices, thereby lower profit margins, where it's moved into those non-affluent areas. That's who they've catered to. That's also why they pay more. That was the other thing. Walmart doesn't pay like Whole Foods. Here's a textbook example of when you're in a niche market of the affluent, and that and you tap that market dry in terms of growth, and you start expanding into other markets. Whole Foods has tried to expand into an areas that would be somewhat comparable to that area of downtown Green Bay. Guess what? It's really hurting them. And their shareholders are noticing that. So I don't think there's any chance that you're going to get a more upscale store down there. And by the way, you will, a food store, and you will note that most of that talk now has simply just gone away. I hope to have an update or two for you on Walmart's latest plan. And again, the new battle cry on this show is Walmart's mixed-use development proposal. I'm doing it for two reasons. One, it's the truth. And two, it's going to drive the Walmart haters nuts. It is mixed use. It's grocery store, general merchandise store, and pharmacy. But it's all under one roof. If there was a small food store, a small pharmacy, and a small clothier and other general merchandise, three separate ones on that property, the Walmart haters and Jim Schmidt, which are, I repeat myself, they would be very happy with that. So what's wrong with having mixed use under one roof? That's what this is. So I am now asking Jim Schmidt why he opposes Walmart's mixed-use development. Why do the people who pretend that this is about the Broadway District, but it's really about hating Walmart, why don't they support Walmart's mixed-use development proposal? Jason, that's just driving them nuts now. By the way, Alderman Chris Weary says he will pick up on that. Other aldermen should pick up on that as well. All right, coming up after 9. There are accidents waiting to happen that rumble through Wisconsin every day. If one does finally go boom, whose fault is it going to be? I have the answer for you at 9:06. It's 8:56. If you can't hear what I'm trying to say.
Before the sirens.
As the storms move to the east.
Whoa, that was.